This is RSVB Update, episode 411, recorded Friday, May 3rd, 2013. Tangents, sines, and cosines. And welcome to RSVB Update. We're here this week to discuss a good selection of RS updates and some pretty nice things that are coming down the pipe for the month of May. At least I'd say so myself. What do you think?
Oh, it's going to be an interesting time.
Yes. But we'll get to the behind the scenes in a little bit. First, we actually got a couple of very heavy-hitting RS updates this week. Pun not intended. I'm sorry, I totally didn't plan that.
Okay, so what's up?
Well, it's the Instance God Wars and EOC updates. So, let's start with the God Wars, because this is something I've wanted for a long time, and the God Wars dungeon has quite frankly needed. So, yeah. So, essentially, what this update does is it brings the same mechanic that is present in the Kalphite King, where you can have your own private little group and lock it off from the rest of the world. So you don't need to be waiting on a Saturday night anymore to go and get a room for Bandos or Armadale, because those are by far the most popular, too. At least they were back when we did them. So, essentially what happens, there is the standard non-instanced version, and then the instanced version. The instanced version, as we said last week, you need to pay a set amount of coins per hour, and it varies depending on the boss. So, based on this, the general is 250,000, and the other three, Commander Siliana, Krill, Tissot, Saroth, and Kriara, are 200,000 each. People can chip in, or one person can chip in. It's really not that much. And you can stay there for as long as you want. Up to 4 hours. So, you know, I mean, 4 hours is a long time.
Most people won't even have enough food to last 4 hours anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're one of those super groups who can, you know, kill it out in about 30 seconds. But that's not us, Shane.
Especially not with some of the updates coming this week to the God Wars dungeon. But nonetheless, you're also able to specify the maximum number of people allowed. So between 1 and 100. So effectively, if you enter 1, the following questions are ignored because you're soloing. So, I mean, wow. I guess this is okay for people who just want to do this for fun. I never thought of soloing God Wars, but that's not the kind of RS player I am. But definitely nice to limit it if you're doing a unlocked room. You're also able to enter the minimum combat level required for entry. So let's say you only want people of combat level 200 because you know they have the all the stats required, you can do that. And you can also enter the entry key. So, for example, if you need to password it, you can just do that. And setting a key of 0 means that no key is set. So, pretty much just like the Kalphite King. I think God Wars is the logical place to put a update like this, because God Wars is by far the most popular bossing place in RuneScape, I think so.
Oh, yeah, with God Wars is pretty popular for bosses anyway, because it's always, as always has been. What I'm more intrigued of is the new hard mode.
Yes, and that's what we were going to get to, because you'll remember that during the World Wakes quest, you fought some of the generals and whatnot in that quest, and they used specific abilities, but of course it was at a much lower level, and I think during the World Wakes quest when we were discussing it, said, "What if it would have been? What if they would have made during this quest you fight the full-on level, whatever bosses, rather than the reduced level ones?" And obviously, here's the option to do that right here. So, if the current version of God Wars is stale for you, you can always set up hard mode, and it costs the same as an instanced fight.
Yes. So anyway, just to read some of the things here. Going in hard mode greatly yields of non-rare items. Item draws are increased in hard mode, and there's also a good chance of getting new soul stones. These soul stones are count as count toward your boss kills and can be stored up and used in lieu of regular monster kills to gain entry for future boss runs. So basically, you can skip the whole killing their what is it? Minions or...
Yeah, and followers. Because if you think about it, anyone who's done God Wars for a decent amount of time, going back all the way to when it came out, you'll have done the whole rigmarole so many times that I imagine that gets quite boring and tedious. And, like, why not? You can just rack up the kills when you're in there, and over time, you'll store them. So, I mean...
And you also end up, you know, we used to kill many, many imps in there.
Yeah, because those ones are the easiest ones to kill for Zamorak. So, definitely a good update on this part. Another thing is that the drop tables are the same as the easier counterparts. So, you know, part of me thinks that the drop tables for the harder ones should be better, but I realize that if that was going to happen, things would not be ideal in-game. You would need kind of the mechanic we were talking about a couple weeks back pertaining to the smithing skill and whatnot, how the easy boss would, for example, drop the uncharged piece of armor and then the smithing skill would be required to charge it up. So, for example, in hard mode, the boss would drop a non-tradable version of the fully charged piece of armor. So kind of like the way that the port's armor works, how you can have the tradable and non-tradable versions of it, I guess. That's how it would work. But, you know, this is an idea I've always had in the back of my head for future expansion on this. So it's good that this is finally implemented.
Okay.
You know, I just want to say one more thing with this. I used to like going to the God Wars area and whatnot and doing the boss fights and everything, but part of the problem for me with RuneScape bossing is that everything is so tied to the response of the server from eating and activating prayers and all that, that, you know, I just don't like that because it's so connection dependent on whether or not you eat or you activate a prayer at the right time. Based on this. So that is the one reason why I'm not a boss fighter on RuneScape.
You are bossy.
Ha, ha, ha.
Whee!
All right. So, anything else on this?
No, not really. You covered every little thing. So, actually, I wouldn't mind giving hard mode a try, but I'm pretty sure if I can't even deal with them in normal mode, I have no chance in hard mode. I don't know. We'll see. But,
well, yeah, to give you an idea, a couple years back, four of us tried to fight Sarah Doman, and that did not go well. So I imagine the same thing here would not go over well as well. So yeah. No, we're not that type of RuneScape player.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing is, let's see, it's nice to actually have a little hard mode. It may change some things around the game. Although, yields of non-rare drops are increased, I don't think that's a great, oh, I get more coins. But I spent all the coins just getting in here.
Yeah.
What I think they should do is, you know, increase the chance of getting rare drops as well in hard mode. Maybe, like, you know, not a super crazy amount, but, you know, your chance of getting one is still up there a little higher.
I don't think that's a good idea given this update. Because this update, any Joe and his friend can go to a God Wars place and just start and then get a piece of armor on their first or second kill. And we don't need that much stuff flowing into the RuneScape economy at this point. Because remember, anything that gets coin shared goes on the Grand Exchange for average market value, which for some pieces of armor is not accurate based on the way the exchange works. So I can see why they didn't increase the yield, because you can bet that the pro teams out there who are going to be doing hard mode and all are going to be doing as much as they normally do. And with more teams not needing to fight over the rooms and whatnot, there's going to be more of these going at the same time. So I can see why they didn't increase the amount or increase the chances of dropping for the hard ones. But at the same time, I'm thinking maybe it needs to slow down a bit based on how many people are actually in one of the God Wars instances. Because does it make sense having the same drop rate? Because if you think about it, there's X amount of worlds and five potential bosses for each world. Now, does it make sense to have unlimited numbers per world in the instances as to however many people can do it at the same time? Before, there was a hard limit of how many of these things could conceivably come into the game per hour, but now there is no limit. So I'm wondering, you know, if maybe there was a little tweak on the back end to say, if there's more people doing this, tone down the drop a bit, because if it was me and I was doing it, that's kind of what I would have done. But nothing in the news posting says that. So, of course, we can't assume that this is happening, but it would be very strange to have it not happen like that.
And the other thing is that if you are going into hard mode, most people are not going to do it because of the challenge. By all means, if they can solo Nex and everything else, I'm pretty sure
they're
going to
do it quick.
They're
going to do it as quick as they can.
Yeah, they're going to test it out and see how it goes the first run, and then pretty soon they'll figure out how to do solo and hard mode and everything else. If all they're going to go for to doing that is to get the Soul Stone, there's not much incentive for them to be in hard mode when I can do better in normal mode.
Yeah, you're right. So there we go. That's why they didn't increase the drop thing. So why the heck did we even go down that tangent? I don't know.
You always go down tangent, Shane.
Yeah, well.
And then you go down cosine, and then you start signing as well.
Oh, boy.
Only you would laugh at a math joke like this.
Oh, that's great. Oh, boy. That's a classic.
Okay. Feel better?
Yes, I do. Let's talk about the new armor system. That totally borked what we did back in November for the equipment calculator.
Okay. Let me take a look at the new armors.
Well, you know, this is a weird update. I'm just going to say that. Because, you know, we're kind of going back to the way things used to be. And, you know, I can see why some people would like these pieces of armor and why they're useful. So starting from the top, there's three categories for armor. There's tanking gear, power gear, and hybrid gear. As tanking gear suggests, that's built for defense, plenty of life points, and no major penalties. Power gear, 10% boost to the damage you deal, but a much lower armor rating. So kind of makes yourself like a glass cannon, I guess. Mm. And hybrid gear, lower base stats than the other types, but big advantage that it has no style weakness. So it's effective against all three types. So this is the kind of army you'd want to do if you're going on one of those hybrid slayer tasks or something like that.
Actually, interestingly enough, we totally forgot about the hybrid armor with all the minigames. I still haven't gotten one because I can't do Soul Wars 300 times and hope that I get one.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, it's more than 300 times because it takes forever to get one piece of it. But, you know, I think the point of this is that I think they're trying to make it so that when you're fighting someone, you have to keep a distance to your strength and weakness. Tanking armor, you know, that's very melee-based. you're supposed to be in the front, taking the damage and dealing and everything
Well,
else.
that's as the name suggests.
Yes, as the name suggests. So you may not, you are very immobile, not very mobile, but you can take the damage and
You're a
give some
whale.
back. Sure, why not? As with power armor, you can do a lot of damage, but if they get close to you, you could be a lot of trouble. Yes, we know that many times, Shane. I felt that. And as with hybrid armor, you're trying to play strength to bows and have, but you also have, you know, but you're not good at anything else as well. You're mid range. You're a mid range fighter where you can take some hits, but you still won't last as long. You won't
And
take a lot
you
of
want to
damage.
be able to be effective against all three types.
So I think what they're trying to do is not really, it'll kind of go with other games of like, you have to play your strength and weakness.
Yeah.
You're not going to last very long, but you can do more damage or be super annoying.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, for the longest time, RuneScape was known as just a hack and slash, go into combat type
and
thing. And, you know, that is the thing that made combat for me with EOC fun again, is that there's strategy to it now. But the problem was, is that the armor wasn't in the right type, but now we have that. So this is a good thing and a bad thing. Good thing, like I said, because, or like you said, rather, plays to your strengths and weaknesses. Bad thing is we're 6 months out now after EOC was released out of beta, and, you know, it just feels as though the changes we're seeing now are big changes that should have been made back in the beta period. Or if not, very short after release.
Well, also, here's the other thing, you know, just kind of thinking about it. You remember during the beta, you look as a whole, there wasn't that many people in the beta.
And that's the thing. That's why I said beta.
So what they really need was like do full implementation and move on, because you're basically like, all right, either you work on it or you quit. Or
if
you're a trader, you go to 07. But anyway, that's the whole point of it, is that, all right, let's make them do it. Like, let's gather all the data we can.
Yeah.
And
that's why I called it a flawed beta test, is because the people who were selected for it, and I'm guilty of this too, primarily because it wasn't having an effect on my core game at the time, is people didn't feel the need to go into the beta because the changes were not all that apparent. At least that's what I felt. And, you know, maybe people got driven off from that, and that's why we didn't see this update come, because, you know, this update this week completely changed armor stats and whatnot. Like, things have been rebalanced since last week. But anyways, there's some interesting numbers we're going to go over in just a moment. But first, let's talk about some of what the pieces of armor consist of. Before we noticed this, I actually sent an email off to our fan site contact, and the guy said this was an interesting question, and, you know, he's going to get back to me because it's not listed anywhere, but what types of armor are which? I mean, there's only a couple of them listed here. So, player-owned ports armor, silk robes, spider silk robes, I mean, dragonhide armor, and rune armor, those are all listed as tanking pieces of armor. Now, the thing with that is, listed here, but there's no easy way to say, is this a tanking piece of armor? Or is it a hybrid piece of armor? The power armor is easy to tell because, for example, on the Bandos chestplate that it lists, it offers an increase to your damage. So, I mean, power armor is easy to discern in that it'll have a damage stat. But hybrid armor, I'm not so sure about how you tell the difference between hybrid and tanking gear.
I'm guessing, I guess you just go on one-on-one with someone and see how long you last.
Yeah, and you know, but, you know, there has to be an easier way. Like, they created that wiki page, you know, of the monster weaknesses. I don't see why we can't have something like this for armor. It would make perfect sense.
But you know, the other thing is, you know, we're still there's still a gap between, you know, between a low level armor, or I guess what we consider mid-range armor, all the way up to super expensive. Oh my god, I'm gonna go bankrupt getting this type of armor.
Yeah,
There's still a very huge gap.
the difference between, say, Barros and Nex or Porch armor is big, and there needs to be some extra armor still thrown in there, I think. And as I'm going to say again, this is a perfect opportunity to fix the smithing skill. Anyways, let's talk about what the different types of armor do. So tank armor has 100% armor rating and 125% life boost. So it's 100% across the armor and 25% for the shield. Now, there are no notes to it, so this is armor like you've always known in the past. Good protection, good life point boosts. Now, power armor takes your armor rating down by 5 and your life bonus down by 10. Now, this also gives you a 10% bonus damage increase. 10% of the same tiered average speed one-handed weapon. So, for example, I guess if you would say Bandos and then go down 5 tiers, but you know, again, I don't know what they mean by 5 tiers. Is that different tiers of armor, or is it different level groups? So I don't know. It's unclear what it means by armor tier. And then hybrid is minus 15 tiers for armor and minus 15 for the life bonus and no armor class. So I guess there's how you tell hybrid, and then anything else that doesn't either have a class or doesn't give damage is a tanking piece of armor. I guess that's the best way of looking at it.
Beats me.
Yeah, I don't know.
So,
I mean,
what
I
think
think
what
this is
they
confusing for people.
I think the whole armor setup thing and RS is far more complicated than it should be.
Really?
Yeah, I just feel that, you know, many other games is just flat out, all right, you wear this, here's your armor rating, and that's pretty much it. Here's your armor, here's how much damage you can take from this, and this, and here's how
Yeah.
much damage you can take out. I think the RS combat system is a little more confusing than it needs to be.
Yeah,
Like, I
you
don't even
know,
pay attention to it
I
anymore,
never,
and
even before EOC, I never thought that pieces of armor, like the Fighter Torso, for example, giving a strength bonus, or Bandos giving a strength bonus, I never thought that that was a good idea. And I still don't think it's a good idea for armor to give attack bonuses. But nonetheless, we got it, we might as well take advantage of it, right?
You hate a lot of things, Shane.
No, I don't.
Let's see. Well,
Overall, I
anyway.
think this is a good update this week.
Okay, whatever
So,
you say.
all right, now as an example, just a pure numerical example. So for a level 60 piece of armor, that'll have an armor rating of 260 and 1440 life bonus. Now, if you take a level 60 power armor, that'll be 226 armor and 1200 life, whereas hybrid will be only 168 and 1080. Now that's pretty weak in the bigger scheme of things, don't you think? Sacrifice for the weakness.
You play to your strength and weakness.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I guess it's a reward for people that want to gear themselves properly, and a penalty for people who don't.
Yeah, quite honestly, I'm just wearing barrels because that's the only one I can afford. I know I can do
Yep.
better, but I can't afford the next
Yep.
step. I don't have 365 billion in my bank account.
Yeah, same. So, I run Barrows except for my magic gear. My most recent magic gear has been a Ganoderma set. And, I mean, that's good.
So is our barrels armor considered tank armor then?
I believe so. I don't remember seeing an offense boost, and I am pretty sure it's got a class type on it because there's one of each. So Barrow's armor would be tank armor.
I was actually saving up on my chi, on my ports to get range armor. And I was like,
See, and you know, you could do that and you'd have a very good armor setup.
No, but I want one where I can actually deal more damage. I was getting one. I was trying to get it so I can do more damage instead of, you know, because I'm magic based. I'm supposed to keep away from the enemy. That's the whole point of magic and range.
Yeah.
And I was hoping I could do more damage, but yeah, I guess that's not gonna happen. We'll see what happens.
All right. So that's that. Next up is hit chance, and this is something that's been a contentious debate for as long as I can remember. So I've looked at this, and it doesn't make sense for NPCs. It makes sense for people, but not otherwise.
Okay.
Because there's a combat simulator on the interface where you can enter a combat level, and it only goes up to 200. So my question is, what do you do for things that are not that are NPCs that go above 200? So that was a little bit confusing, but they actually did come clean and give us a formula based on accuracy and how hit chance is calculated. So it's simply accuracy divided by defense multiplied by the weakness rounded down. So the defense value comes from your opponent rather than yourself and is calculated as armor plus armor divided by 100 multiplied by 40 rounded down. It's easier to understand when you look at the actual formula for it. And then once you put all this together, you get your hit chance. So my question is, how do you calculate this for the NPCs? Because it's not always clear what an NPC is up to.
Okay, no clue.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's anyway, it's a what is it? Game-wide update, so it's for free players and members, but that's kind of obvious.
Yeah.
And
And
yeah.
the simple summary is that higher levels will now enjoy greater accuracy from their attacks than even before, and those leveling will notice a bigger difference from level to level. So that's good, I think. It actually gives you an incentive to get those last couple levels in combat. At least that's what I think. What do you think?
What I think about this, fighting people is completely different because people can switch off so quickly, switch armor or gang up on you so much easier than going one by one. So, you know, you're gonna get a chance of hitting them, great, but in the whole scheme of things, I think by the time you notice you're gonna hit, you're pretty much already dead.
Yeah. But it even extends to defense. So I'm betting that defense will be pretty useful in this case.
Okay.
And also this extends to potions and prayers because you'll know that potions give you a numerical boost. So if you can push your stats all the way up with the potions and whatnot, that'll affect your hit chance as well. And same thing based on prayers. I know lots of people were complaining about prayers when EOC came out because they didn't seem that useful. But now on the back end, the prayers will actually increase your raw level behind the scenes.
Yeah, so I actually have a reason to drink potions while I slay people, slay monsters now.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, lots of potions were feeling meaningless for this. So, I mean, they're good updates and they're needed, but I just wish they would have came sooner because this obsoleted a lot of the work we did for EOC stuff.
Well, they're probably basically. I think they're just doing all this in preparation for RuneScape 3.
Yeah, I mean, you want to ship it with a combat system that's decent, and you don't want to be tweaking that in a brand new system and everything like that. So, all right.
Okay.
So, release notes. Do you have anything you want to highlight on here this week?
Release notes? Nah, nothing worth really mentioning on this one.
All right. Yeah, nothing really that much, but you can have it read through it if you want.
Okay.
Moving on to the community roundup. Once again, this week, another RSBNB member has been featured, ZantFelC, a.k.a. Zant on RuneWire and the forums, did a Root of All Evil reconstructed orchestra. Or reorchestrated, I mean. He put it together and did that on his own. So,
Congratulations, dude.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Let's give that a bit of a listen. Definitely an upbeat rework there.
Okay.
Also, fan art. Somebody recreated the Alcarid Gate in Lego.
Lego! Yay, Legos!
I knew Lego would come to RuneScape at some point.
There's probably like 4,000 features behind the scenes, and I bet you after this one comes out, a lot more of them are coming out soon.
Yep. And somebody also did a nice painting. It looks like a digital painting of a swamp.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and as for the You Choose the Content, Dwarves won. Woohoo!
Yeah, that's... I was hoping that the Dwarves wouldn't win that.
I did. I wanted the Dwarves to win.
Why?
I wanted to finish up the Red Axe storyline.
I wanted to do the gnomes, because, you know, the gnomes always had good puzzles.
I want more dragon, more dragon tool thingy.
You remember that puzzle at the beginning of Wild Gothic Sleep? Some people were stuck on it for hours.
Wild Gothic Sleep. Which puzzle was that one?
I don't know. It was a puzzle in the... In the gnome area or something, I think.
You mean Monkey Madness?
No. That was just a puzzle box.
Yeah, I know. That ticked a lot of people off because, they couldn't figure it out. And I remember they complained so much that Jack was actually within, a couple hours just said, like, all right, fine, here, pay $200K to get through it. It's like, I'm not paying $200K. Either solve it or shut up.
Yeah. So you can see why I wanted the gnomes to win, but
but I wanted Dwarves because I want to finish up the Red Axe storyline.
All right, and that quest will be released later this year.
Woot! Now we can only finish up Biohazard series.
Yep.
In my lifetime, no less.
I don't know about that.
I'm not planning on dying anytime soon.
Yeah, but still, there's lots of other stuff that needs to be done first. All right. So now that that's out of the way, there's a bit of an update on the beta program. 100,000 sessions logged. They're very excited to be working with HTML5 and WebGL because they're, of course, the first game of the size to be doing it. Also... they're focusing on crashes and other major bugs right now. They're expecting that'll take another week or two. And then after that, the client will be much more stable. So that's good.
Yeah, I still remember I crashed more than once in the beta. That was not fun.
Yeah. And then in a couple weeks, they'll turn their attention towards optimizing the client. Lag and low frame rate are making beta awkwardly slow for some people, and they're interested into why small differences in graphic drive where computer specs can have a big impact, and some game locations run fine and some don't. So,
yeah. Yeah, so let's hook you up with the beta work.
Yep.
And let's see. So, continual pull quest. Oh, that's the dwarf thing.
Yeah, yay, you skipped that for some reason.
What? I didn't skip it.
Yeah, you jumped over to it for this reason when it was different, but that's okay.
I was scrolling down the web page, and I just saw that one after for the community roundup. And I thought, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I just thought I'd just mention that really quick.
All right. So behind the scenes, May 2013. Next up is the Nexus, which is a prayer training method aimed at lower level players. So.
Yes.
It's good, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a way to try and get rid of the beginning grind of just burying bones.
Oh God, yeah, that's bad.
And so I think it's a good update. You know, get people through the little small hump, get them going. It's going to be up to them to continue to bury bones or get members and get a bone crusher really quick.
Yeah, levels 1 to 40. and they say that's to avoid the minimum of chicken bone burial. So,
KFC,
and for everyone else, it'll be a fun way to earn some prayer XP in a really cool looking area while chatting with your friends. I wonder if they're going to have chrono boosts on the Nexus.
No.
I'm sorry, I just had to throw that in.
Actually, I think it'll be quite good if they're oh, it's for members only. Okay.
Yeah. But the next one, God Emissaries, is not. This will be a chance for you to learn about your favorite god and learn some more before pledging your allegiance and get some rewards. So the God Emissaries will be making their voices heard, and they'll be looking for you to join their cause. And apparently, if you don't want to support a god, you'll align yourself with Guthics. So that's the new godless faction.
Well, he is dead now.
Yeah, and you know, spoiler that's the alert. Whole thing. Guthics should felt that the gods should mind their own business rather than getting involved in the world. So that's what the godless faction is for.
Yeah, I never care. Well, I converted an RS anyway.
What did you convert to?
Elendis.
Okay.
It's the Narda is the desert goddess. The one that actually does something by healing you when you're low on health by praying to her, unlike Sarah Doman.
You know, one thing that they said here, if you favor serenity and freedom and a strong noble outlook, perhaps you'll pick Armadil. I never knew Armadil was about that. So that might be worth something for me to look into for the one to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And just in case anyone knows, in the next couple of weeks, once we go through this updates, if you see the word Armadillo appear on any of the update notes, that's because OS 10 corrected Armadil to Armadillo.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because you remember once I said I'm at Armadillo, and it was at Armadil.
Okay. Next up, we have Farmed and Dangerous. Yes, I knew you would clap. Let's see, we have... quit it. Thank you. Take a look at this. We have a fly trap, a Jumanji plant on the right, and we have Jurassic Park.
What's a Jumanji plant?
You never watched Jumanji, that's why you don't know it.
Yeah, I guess. I thought that was a horror movie.
No, it was with Robin Williams way back when and Christian Dunst.
I see. But yes. This is a farming update. 10 new plants between level 76 and 96. Less used plots like hops, flowers, and allotments. And you'll be able to use the fruit from these, for example, to get thieving XP from the Venus flytrap, or the sunchoke tubers for some outdoor strength training, and use your construction skill to build grapevines, and then grow grapes to make god-themed wines, which can be used to brew enhanced God Brew potions.
Ooh, I mean, it was good because the hops. No one ever bothered with making hops.
We just
grew it, and sold that stuff because we just had the seeds. We didn't care for it.
Yeah, and you know that was a good way of getting farming XP back in the day, and you could actually do full on farming runs. So, I'm looking forward to doing some of these.
Maybe you should go back to 07 and do a full farming run again.
No, absolutely not.
Well, here's your incentive to go back to farming in RS or make a whole new character again on RS.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Bonus XP tidy up. So there'll be maintenance on the bonus XP system. So, for example, this would be the pendants and combat training. And they're going to be brought together under the same roof.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that, for example... we'll be able to get rid of all the pendants that are sitting around in our bank.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's good. And they no longer will need to be worn to access the bonus XP. So that's good as well.
Oh, interesting.
And then, of course, we got the usual Squeal and Solomon updates, and the RuneScape beta program is ongoing. So it looks like we got quite a good month here in May.
All right, will be interesting. I know.
And you know, I do have 99 in both.
I know. I'm close to 99 herb. Well, I'm not even very close to the farming one, but I'm close to 99 herb lore.
I could help you.
How?
I could sell you some herbs for a good price.
No. Can't make money off of it.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So, that's that for behind the scenes, and this week's behind the scenes video focuses a little bit about the RS3 music. So, listen to this preview of the RuneScape theme done in orchestra in, I think it was Sweden, if I remember correctly, if I heard that right. And they got the same composer who did Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. So, I mean, this is some pretty big star power working on RuneScape. Somebody who worked on both Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings.
Which both you have never seen, Shane.
I've seen some Harry Potter.
Did Mike force you to watch it?
No. But yeah. Let's have a listen to this. And I just want to say before we do this is that everybody listening now and playing the game needs to know that you're at a very good time to be playing this version of RuneScape with the quality production going into it. It is no longer a game that to be laughed at.
And you may want to turn down your volume just a wee bit.
No, I'm not going to blast them.
Oh, you did blast at me earlier.
The big theme. It's a strong theme. It's known by a lot of people. We wanted to be quite sympathetic to the history of RuneScape, but we really wanted to take it to the next level.
The orchestra itself is called the Slovak National Symphony Orchestra. The lineup we have here today is a full string section of 14 first violins, 12 seconds, 10 viola, 8 celli and 6 basses, which is a really, really good size for a string section. And to complement that, we have a fairly large brass section of 6 French horns. Over there we have 3 trumpets, 3 trombones and a tuba. And then we have the regular symphonics woodwind section, which is 2 flutes, 2 oboes, 2 clarinets and 2 bassoons. Class, world class.
They're a very established orchestra.
All right, so there's a preview, and for anyone interested, I would highly suggest that you watch this BTS video. Links can be found in the show notes at update.rsmovie.com.
Okay.
It sounds very good. Don't you agree?
Yes, quite nice.
Yes.
All right, and as a last little reminder, we have the Summit gloves. Their power is going to end on the 6th, so that's Monday. So if you're listening to this on Saturday, you have basically, until Sunday night to finish
it
up.
Remind me what the Summit gloves do again.
Free gold.
Oh, those stupid things.
Oh, you're just angry because you didn't get any. I ended up getting 2. Haha. And secondly, Hottie Paws and Skull Boots, their power ends on the 16th. So keep that in mind. You have, let me double check. Late on a Saturday, you about 2 weeks.
I should do some Slayer. Get 99 Constitution in that case.
Yeah,
you know, I was going to do that last night, actually. But then I realized that I had blood valves. And I didn't have the right armor for that, because I believe blood welds are a magic-based thing.
They used to be.
Yeah. And, you know, ranged, weaknesses to thrown, so do I want to go take it and use darts? I didn't, like, you know, that's the problem. I don't have the stupid darts to throw at the things.
It's okay. It's still magic. Their attacks are still magic based.
Yeah, they are. And the weaknesses is to blood veld is thrown. So, I mean, I guess I could use ranged, because I did pick up an Armadale crossbow.
Sure, go for it. Maybe it's a good chance we actually start using throwing axes more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those things kind of went out of existence once upon a time, didn't they?
So maybe we can bring this back. Oh, hey, maybe the new dwarf quest will give us more throwing axes. Think of dragon throwing axes or something better. Kill monsters to get them or something. That would be nice. More guns.
Wait. There's a blood veld that's weak to water?
There is?
Apparently.
Which one's that?
I don't know. It's level 132.
I don't remember where that one's from.
Oh, it's the God Wars blood veld. That's right.
Ah.
Never mind. All right. Moving on to questions now. We got an audio question this week. It is from Brian. Before we do that, I'll just say that anybody who wants to send in an audio question, that's highly encouraged. Email them to questions@rsbnb.com. And then you can phone them in to the Google Voice number, which is 571-572-2632. All right, here's the question.
Shane, Trekkie, what are your favorite types of chips? Mine is ketchup and then dill pickle.
So favorite type of chip, or crisp, if you're from that part of the world.
The crisp. I guess Ruffles. Ruffles always been good.
Oh, God, those are disgusting.
You hate many things, Shane. Actually, it's better if you have some dip. They can actually take the dip.
That is good.
Yeah, I don't ever like... Ruffles, I always like to dip them in something else. Because it's fair that the chip itself is actually just pretty salty, so you want something to kind of balance it out.
Yeah.
Or make it even bigger so you can enjoy your soda even more.
All right. Barbecue. You have any more stuff? Oh, barbecue.
No, I thought you were going to say barbecue.
Oh, no. That's...
Sour cream and onion?
No, that's too bland. Ketchup is good.
Ketchup potato chips?
Yeah! I guess you guys don't have those there.
No, not
here. They're very popular here.
Not here, it ain't.
Well, I think they're popular, but I'm the only person I know that likes them. So ketchup is good.
Pizza flavor is always good.
Jalapeno? Yeah, those ones are best if you got like a head cold or something. You can use it to clear out your sinuses.
Why don't you just eat a jalapeno and be done with it?
Yeah, you could do that as well.
Or take a spoonful of wasabi. That always clears everything up. What's the other thing? Actually, pizza flavor potato chips is not good once in a while. But they're actually very strong.
Oh, okay. That might be good then.
So, like, not like, you know, kind of like spice-wise strong. I mean, like, you know, the flavor of it is pretty strong. So, I usually, when I eat that, I usually have something else to kind of dilute it a little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
Usually water.
Here, the brand for jalapeno is called Miss Vicky's. That's my favorite. I don't know if you guys have those there.
Nope. At least I never seen them.
And another good one that was discontinued once upon a time was curry flavored Lay's.
I bet they're popular in India.
You know, yeah, they could be, and that could be the very reason you can't get them anymore here. Only saw them once, and then they were gone. Yeah, nobody else liked those. I mean, no one. All right, I'm done with that one.
Yeah, I got nothing.
All right.
Thanks, Brian.
Read the next one.
All right, this question is from Forged. Dear hosties with the mosties, what the most efficient or hassle-free way of training skills is through distractions and diversions? Sinkholes, big gym chompas, penguins, tears, and warband, just to name a few, are all grind-free. They provide decent XP for the time put in, and sometimes offer bonus rewards. My question is, do you think every skill should have a corresponding D&D? If so, so that you can level up all skills by having to grind through them. If so, do you think the XP from them should be balanced across the board so some skills won't get an unfair boost? Thanks, and keep up the great show. Alright, Shane, start your monologue.
I don't have a monologue on this topic.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. All right, so what do you think? More D&Ds? Should we roll the dice?
I'm actually going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that no, we don't need more distractions and diversions out there because, you know, the skill is the skill and it should be leveled up by means of a skill. Unless you do a complete 180 on what the skill means like they did with runecrafting last year. Because if you think about it, Runespan would have been viewed as a D&D back then. So, I don't know whether it's good to have it like that or if it's better to keep it in terms of the actual skill. Because, like I said, it was a complete 180.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I, for one, I'm quite happy with the new Hunter little mini game thing.
Oh, what's that called? The Pit?
Yeah, I don't think it was the Pit. The one by Gnome Stronghold?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that one. I find that more engaged in that one than regular hunting. I like that one. That
and,
decent.
You know, distraction and diversions are good when they provide a break from the skill, like that one does. So I don't exactly have a problem with them like that. I just don't think they should be primary training methods of the skill. Granted, I like some of them out there, specifically the sinkholes for dungeoneering. Those are good. And also the troll invasion. I guess you'd call it a distraction and diversion.
Yeah, that's what they consider it as.
Because you can get a huge amount of XP. And also, you can do the same thing for the warbands as well.
And, you know, just for me, I got 850 summoning and 50 dungeoneering through Tears of Guthix every week. It's because, well, Tears of Guthix for me was very useful at the time.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, there's no reason not to have them. It's just I don't think they should be the primary training method.
And also, one other little thing. I wouldn't mind having some way of have a little summoning to D&D just to save me a little bit of cash.
There is. It's called familiarization.
You just get you more shards.
Okay.
Or more charms even.
Well, the charm one was last week. Kind of, I guess. I don't know if I'd call that a distraction, a diversion, or a hunter feature, now that I think about it.
Which one? The one from last week or the familiarization one?
The one from last week, the charm sprites.
And that one's more of a combination mini game, combination skill.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, let me see. Naming off a few, we have Sinkholes for the Engineering. We have the God Statue building for Construction and Prayer. We, I guess if you want to consider RuneSpan, one for RuneCrafting Magic. What about that Mage building? Magic building north of Duel Arena.
Back to the actual question, though. As long as they're not giving too much XP, I think they're fine. I don't think anything needs to be rebalanced in this case right now. Because if you look at construction, you get much more XP for actually building things. You get more XP for doing large dungeons. You get more XP for actually creating summoning pouches. So I think we're fine.
Oops. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, I think dungeon. I think I feel D&D more of a, let me get through this little hump.
Yeah, that's a makes good
you,
analogy.
It makes you feel good to see a nice, you know, giant 5-digit numbers fly through the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Thank you, Forged. The next one is from Maramska. Dear host, sorry for not sending an audio question this week. I've been looking into tablets for myself, but I have no experience in the Android-based OSs. Since you have experience with them, can you tell me what's the difference between the iPads and other Android-based tablets? What makes them better or worse? With combat and combat gear ever-changing, do you see the rest of the year we will see more additions and changes to it to make it more balanced? Last thing, has Jagex looked too far ahead and haven't looked back on what they promised us? Example, floor 61 in Dungeoneering plus less Wheel of Fortune promotions than Solomon's store. Thanks for all the podcasts, and them Lilies of the Valley are back. Maramska out. All right, you want to start at the top or the bottom?
Let's just start from the top.
Tablets.
All right, well, this is your domain, not mine. Go for it.
Well, you know, I'm a fan of the iPad. The benefit of the Android tablets, of course, is that they're cheaper. If you already have an existing Android ecosystem and Google ecosystem, that'll work for you. Just as if you already have iOS devices, iOS tablets will be a better choice for you. Personally, in terms of hardware, I think that Apple has a nicer hardware than the Android ones, but again, it all comes down to the price.
There is sweatshop labor.
Hmm?
Sweatshop labor too.
Okay. And you know, I mean, there's I forget what the link was. There was some 7-inch tablet a while back that had a 1080p display, and that's pretty good for a size like that on an Android based tablet. So really. This day and age, it all comes down to what you need and where you want to go with your applications and whatnot. Me, myself, I'd recommend the iOS route. So, because I think you already have an iPhone or something like that. Maybe I'm remembering wrong from a previous question, but yeah. And plus, you know, I think that there are definitely some Android tablets out there that look like children's play toys, and I don't think that's a good thing.
I don't know. As for me,
I thought your dad had one.
No, what? He had an iPhone. Has an iPhone. That's it.
Oh, okay.
He wants a tablet, but I can't afford it. He can't afford it right now.
All right.
I don't plan on getting him one anytime soon, though.
I thought someone in your family had an Android tablet, no?
No. Ben and Emily has the iPad.
Oh, okay. And what do you think of that?
Well, I never get to touch it, so I don't care for it. It's theirs, not mine.
But you got to set it up for them, and you must admit that it is a pretty nice device.
It's a nice device, but I don't care for Apple. I don't care. I mean, I don't care for the tablet. I have no... For now, I have no reason to get a tablet. Although I will admit, my grandpa wanted a tablet until I told him, you know how much those things cost, right? I was like, no, a couple hundred. What? Yeah, forget it. Well, you thought those things were cheap? I thought it may be like $150. You're not even close. $150, that's a cheapo. That's a cheapo.
That's a play toy tablet.
He's like, yeah, you buy insurance with that one.
Yeah, you don't want
insurance with that one.
Let me just say, don't cheap out when it comes to tablets like that, because you want something that's going to be a good device and it's going to stick around for a while.
Yes, so, and I'll let you finish off first.
No, I said I'm done. Basically, comes down to choosing which OS you like better, in my view.
And as my uncle once said, three things you never go cheap on: cars, electronics, home applications like refrigerators and all that.
Oh, that's good. So that means he is in favor of buying Macs then.
No, he hates Macs. Just can't figure out how to use it.
Well, then why would you not cheap out on a computer then?
Because some of us don't have $2,000 spent on a Mac Pro. Okay, combat triangle, dress year, see more additions and changes to it. I would like to see more action bars. 5 is still not enough, and I'm hoping they release more skills because they really need to diversify it. If we're going to have new armor, we actually need new abilities to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and you know, I imagine that'll be coming too, because we already got 2 of them earlier this year. So,
I guess they're all ultimate abilities though, and they're all pretty high up in the abilities.
Well, no, there's the attack one, the strength one, the ranged, and the magic one. Remember we got those as well? The ones that increase accuracy or whatever?
Oh, okay. The small little one. But you look at other games, they actually have a lot more abilities than this.
Yeah. And you know, in a way, this is good because it keeps it in the traditional sense of RS. And it doesn't go too far out. So I think that's a good thing. But EOC changes, I don't think we've seen the end of it yet. We're definitely reaching a point to where the changes are more subtle, I think. Mm-hmm. Especially after this week tinkering around with whatnot. But I hope these changes, the amount of them quiets down a bit shortly. So.
Mm. Yes, and okay, and the last one, last thing, Jagged's look too far ahead, have a look back to what they promised to us, and yeah.
461, less Squeal of Fortune.
Less Solomon store stuff, all companies lie.
Well, you know, I honestly don't have a problem with Squeal and Solomon because they're revenue generating things, and that's always good for a company to be making money, because, you know, without a huge influx of funds, they probably wouldn't be able to use a full on orchestra to record music and everything. And quite frankly, I'd rather have the orchestra and whatnot than, I'd rather have Squeal, Fortune, and Solomon rather than having no orchestral music or good updates based on the amount of extra funds that need to be applied to it. So while it would be nice to have less of those, I don't really think it's much of a deal, big deal. But what do you think of Dungeoneering, Floor 61? Was that the promise for this year?
I don't remember that, but you know, maybe Hugh does have that. I've forgotten. But Dungeoneering, I don't know. After a while, it was...
Dungeoneering is Dungeoneering, right?
Yeah. Once you've hit 120 and you get the max level, there's really not much else to do in that unless you want the toys.
Yeah, and people would want to finish off the Dungeoneering skill, and rightly so. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's it, so thank you, Maramska, for the question. Last one.
He did it.
No, I read this one. This one's yours.
Fine. All right. Question from Flash. I have not trained agility for a long time. I was doing the wilderness course from level 52 to 99, but then Glendonor games came out. I did that to 77. So I'm not sure how I should train that skill as at this level. What's the fastest way to train agility to 77? Thank you, Flash.
All right. There's a number of ways you can go about it. One surefire way of doing it, you stop failing at level 75, is the Apatol agility course. So if you go there right now, you won't fail that at all. So that is a option for you.
I did that for a long time.
Yeah. I did that one until the... because I was doing agility when the advanced barbarian and gnome courses came out. So after about level 80, I just went off to advanced gnome, even though I was failing quite a bit. But, So for you... it depends on what you want to do. The Apatol agility course is a good experience. And as I said, you stop failing at level 75. So that is a solid option for you. Another option, once you get to level 80, is the Dorgesh Khan agility course. You can either stay at Apatol until... 80 and then go straight to the Dorgesh Khan agility course, or you can stay at Apatol until 85 and move to Barbarian. I mean, not Barbarian, Advanced Gnome. Now, the reason I didn't do the Dorgesh Khan agility course is because back then the experience wasn't that great. Now, they tweaked it a bit and made it better XP-wise. But there is a bit of a caveat with this because...
you have to remember to get the item.
Yeah, exactly.
Which and is very annoying.
It's a longer course, and you know that might not be the thing for you. So keep that in mind when doing that one. And you might just choose to wait until the Advanced Gnome course. Because if I remember correctly, let's see, what level?
One was around 80 something. 85 for the Advanced Gnome one.
Yeah, 85 is Advanced Gnome, but I'm trying to remember when you stop failing it. It might be. I don't know. 88 doesn't seem right.
No, it's not 88 because I'm 89 right now. I still fail at that. Okay, so I'm guessing around somewhere in the low 90s or mid 90s.
Yeah. Okay, 89, you stop failing at.
Really?
Yep, that's right.
Just looked it up?
Yep, that's right. You stop failing at 89.
Huh, I guess I remember failing that. Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
And what's the other thing? And remember, Skull Boots actually give you bonuses in agility, so if you say, have them, have points in it, use it up in agility course. I find that useful.
Yeah.
And pendants. Oh, when I get agility pendants, I'm happy.
Oh, yeah. Pendants as well.
Yes, and I've been...
And, you know, for some reason, I didn't find agility that bad getting 99. I don't know why.
I don't think it's bad. It's just a little tedious of staring at the same screen again and again. But that's why you put on a nice movie or do something else as you're doing it.
Yeah. But I definitely look into the Dorgesh Khan course once you get to 80. But until then, just stick at the Apatol. But I would highly recommend switching to the Gnome course at 85, because that's what I did for the rest of my run to 99. And you could switch to Barbarian later on, but you don't really need to. It's not that much different XP-wise, maybe a little bit faster.
Oh, you just get that. You get the legs.
Oh, right.
That's what I've noticed. You just you get for doing the advanced gnome and the advanced barbarian, you get special agility legs that decreases your total weight. So if you're doing agility, I always find that I always wear things like that. But I love my ghostly robe. I don't want to change that.
Well, you could equip it as a keepsake box item.
Nah. I'm not paying them.
Well, you got rune points from the...
I bought the unicorn and I bought the theater pack.
Oh, okay.
So I'm good. Ow.
Bang. All right. Phone. Well, there's your options for agility. Monkey course. Right now.
I got so tired of the monkey course.
Yeah, but you know, it's a good course. The best part about it is that there's a pineapple plant right there. So you just bring a knife with you, and if you get hurt too much, you got free food.
Actually, from what I've noticed about doing agility, you really cannot die in it.
Yeah, you won't die, but it's always nice to be able to heal yourself up, you know?
Yeah, well, I actually found that you don't actually really need to eat food. It'll actually scale down. Back then, before the Constitution update, yeah, you could actually, in theory, die to it, but that's about it.
Yep. All right. Thank you for that question. Have fun doing agility.
Whee! Okay. So shall we move on to tech news?
Yes. Let us do that. So what's first?
Okay. Well, it's... You know, Shane, you know the old saying, imitation is the most sincere form of flattery?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems Firefox is becoming very popular because there's a company who kind of stole Firefox logo and was selling it to governments to use. And, of course, obviously the government was using it and they lost a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a giant security breach with that.
So this spyware was apparently posing as Firefox. So it wasn't just a disguise. It was actually trying to be Firefox and use that to get people to install it. Apparently, there was a report that 36 countries, including the U.S., hosted command and control software for FinFisher, which is surveillance software known as FinSpy. It's sold by UK-based Gamma International to governments, which use it in criminal investigation, allegedly for spying on dissidents. You know, this is really standard practice. If you want to get a piece of software on someone's system, you just pose as someone else, and then you're more likely to get yourself installed. But actually, it's important to note that Firefox itself is safe. So if you're actually getting it from the Firefox website, you're okay. So you don't need to worry about Firefox.
And keep in mind that if you are using IE, usually do have a little thing on your address bar that shows up as Firefox, and that's how you usually can tell it's the real thing. Same with PayPal, American Express, Visa, etc.
Yeah, check the security certificate. That's what you mean. Mm-hmm. The little green in the address.
And, you know, funny little story on this little thing. When I first started working over there, I got a phone call, and somebody was asking us, like, we got an email from you guys, but I don't know if it was really from me or from somewhere else. I asked her, what's the URL from that you got it? What's the email they got it from? It's like some long string of kill it. Okay. it was like that, but numbers and letters, like, oh, that's not even close to being us.
Yeah, so in general, it's this is good internet practice in general, just to be wary of what's being installed, but chances are most end users in our countries are going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. So,
and there is a way to check. You actually got to check the properties of the software to do this if you have any suspicions at all. So,
okay. So moving on to the next one, we have the first web page.
Yeah. So back in 93 or sometime around there, the first web page was published from CERN, and this page was recently republished on the web as to what it looked like back then. And it's a very simple page, just text. The World Wide Web, W3, is a wide area hypermedia information retrieval initiative aiming to give universal access to a large universe of documents. Everything there is online is linked directly to or indirectly to this document, including an executor summary of the project, mailing list, policy, November's W3 news, and frequently asked questions.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even get the code if you want. There's a README about how to do it, and like for old types of web browsers and whatnot, pretty amazing to see how the internet started. Looking back, how does the www keep track of available servers? How does a user know where to get a specific piece of information and whatnot? So, from May 14th of 1992. Wow. So, definitely have a look at this. First website ever created on the internet.
Okay, and have fun with that, reading the history of the internet.
Yeah, and you know, it's very easy to read because there's no images, no fluff, no tables, no flash. That stuff didn't exist back then.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even look at the HTML markup as well, and you can see how different it is compared to what we have now.
Hmm. Anyway, last but not least, Apple is about to hit 50 billion downloads.
The App Store.
Yep.
And if you enter to win or you happen to download the 50 billionth app, you could win a $10,000 iTunes gift card.
That's not going to be me anytime soon.
Well, you can enter 25 times a day.
Yeah, still not going to be me. Besides, even if I do, I have nothing to spend it on. Unless they want to give me a free iPad, too, while they're at it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I'm sure you could give it away.
I'll sell it for $10,000. Actually, no, I'll sell it for $9,999.95.
I wonder if there's anyone that would buy that.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they would. Why not? Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. All right. I'm just entering at the moment right now.
Did you win? Nope. Did you win?
No. Nope. I don't know. Win? I don't know.
Fill out the form below, huh?
Yep. Just filling it out, and we'll see if we win. It'd be nice. But, yeah, 50 billion, and last week we had the 10-year anniversary of iTunes, so... lots of interesting stuff happening in this domain.
All right. Congratulations, Apple.
Yep. All right. Other things. This month we got a new skill of the month. It's May. The Slayer's skill of the month has gone off with a bang, it seems, seeing as we're 3 days in almost. And we got Zant. Currently in the lead with 1.1 million XP gained. Duh. Second place is Bletherskite with 417,000. And third place is Parnassius with 382,000. So,
it's Smithing, isn't it?
No, or... it's Slayer.
Right, Slayer. Okay. Yeah. My bad. Oops. There we go.
So, Slayer is a skill of the month that pretty much everyone can compete in, and you don't need to have the pre-ingredients or spend a lot of time on it just sitting in one place. This is actually a true test of willpower. See if you
or can. You have a cannon.
Or that, depending on the task.
Yeah.
Yeah. But 1.1 million XP in 3 days is pretty, pretty darn good, if I must say so myself.
Yes, many cannons.
Yeah, I don't know if I could keep up to this rate. I'd probably be somewhere around... I don't know, maybe 10th or so, or 11th, if I was in this one. So, good work, everyone who's competing in this one, because it is pretty, pretty hard to compete in Slayer.
All right, and then next up, we have the achievements of the week.
Right.
We have BK Tricks, who got 99 fletching on May 2nd.
Congratulations.
Minor Goo 99 crafting on April 28th.
And finally, Parnassius, 99 crafting as well, on the 27th. So, congratulations to you all.
Yay. 99 crafting. Good God. Yes.
Yeah, times two.
Good. We need more artisans in the world.
Yeah, but you know, crafting is one of those useless skills, I think, in my opinion.
Hey, I made money off of that.
Yeah, you did, actually. I was actually thinking of getting 90 crafting using your glory method.
As I said, that method is very GE dependent.
Yeah. And, you know, it makes sense to play the GE with regards to that. So, no problems. Alrighty, so it's a new month, so that means I am going to tell you to have a look at the Informer Roundup. You can go through the Roundup and read all the articles our writers came out with in April. A good selection, actually, this month. So, and we ended off with a bit of a comedy-themed article, so that's always good. So,
oh my god.
Head over to informer.rsmovie.com for that. Yes?
Oh, nothing. I'm just looking at the price of Glorias and Dragonstones. Not happy.
Is that good or bad?
Nah. Well, it's good if you're trying to sell it, but it's bad for me if you're trying to make them.
Ah, okay.
Oh, well. It's all good.
All right. And I'll also note that the Informer applications have closed, and we will be announcing our candidate that we've chosen by this time next week. And it's a wonder why I'm a writer on that thing or why I run that thing, when sometimes when I'm trying to put together a sentence for this show, it doesn't always come out as planned.
Okay.
All right.
And now we have Shane's Pick of the Week, which is Google Now for iOS.
Yeah, so Google Now is the thing that Android has had since something like version 4, I think. It effectively uses Google to act as a personal assistant, kind of the same way that Siri does on iOS. It's not as in-your-face on iOS as it is in Android. And, you know, that's either a good thing or a bad thing, depending on how you use Google Now. But regardless, it's an interesting thing to play with. It'll use your current location and information based on what you search. I know if I yesterday or a couple days back went near the mall here, and it showed which movies were playing, as an example. So, I mean, Google's been wanting to bring this to iOS for a while now, and they finally have. And it's actually with an application that is fairly decent. It's with the Google Search app. So, for example, if you just swipe up on that, you'll get access to all the Now cards. And the Google iOS app has some pretty good... Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I got to show you what it just did here when I was talking. So... anyways, back on track, it's got some pretty good voice search features, so if you're wanting some sort of voice search that isn't Siri, you can just use the Google Now, or the Google app, rather. I don't know why I keep calling it Google Now, and you can search. So, RuneScape Bits and Bytes, it tries its best, and it comes up with, of course, our site and whatnot, so... definitely get the Google app for iOS now that it has Google Now integration and access to the Google Systems app, so you can access Maps, YouTube, Gmail, Drive, and all those other sort of things like that.
Okay.
Right now the weather card is up, and basically if you were to search for something, like I guess if you searched for a flight and it knew you were going somewhere, it would give you those sorts of options. One of the cards it says that we have available is the Gmail card, but I have not seen anything pop up based on my Gmail account, so that's kind of interesting as to why that's not there. But anyways, just released this week, so I can imagine it'll be evolving for quite some time. So if you're an iOS user and you want to play with some Google Now, go grab this. It's free.
Okay.
All right. So what have you been up to this week?
Oh, you know what I finally got after putting it off for so long.
What's that?
You know what I did.
What did you do?
Finish that quest.
Oh, right! Brink of Extinction. How'd that go for you?
Okay, whoever said, I'll just say this. Range a goddamn guy. That was so much easier just to kill him with range than it was with anything else.
I used Crush.
That did jack for me. I actually ended up dying faster than with Ice Barrage. And when I tried Ice Barrage, I couldn't even get it. I got him to half and I was just die because I was too weak to really tank it. Ring was just so much easier. Because you have a nice little skill called Binding Shot, which recharges pretty quick.
And that suspends the target in their current spot, right?
Yes. So I just started arranging it with double crossbows and like, all right, after all, I said, all right, screw it, I'm buying myself offhand cross, chaotic. So I got double chaotic just going at it.
Nice.
What ticked me off, Shane? He killed me after my last shot, but I still ended up killing him with my last shot, but I died before him, so I didn't get anything. Like, oh, just do it again.
And then how many shots did it, or how many attempts did it take after that?
I want to say 5, because ooh, after that, what happened was it was either my prayer didn't activate for whatever reason, or what's the other thing, or my binding shot failed because it didn't hit or something.
Okay. I see. Well, that's good you did that. What about anything else?
Anything else? I did my ports and did a little dungeoneering with Dino, and I did the hunting mini game thing. And that's it. I'm still ahead of Dino just by a tiny little bit. But I'm pretty sure once he actually gets free time during the summer, he's gonna surpass me really quick.
Okay. Anything else?
I'm almost done upgrading my entire port. All I got left to do is just do some hotspots.
That's good.
That's it. Yeah.
All right.
And I have a lot of charm, not a chimes, which are completely useless.
Well, as for me this week, I spent some more time after last week's show at the charm area gathering some more of those charms from the charm sprite, so that was good. Also, this month I started working on 90 crafting. So what I've been trying to do daily, it's sometimes easier said than done, is gather the 100 possible battle staves from the guy in Varrock and on Lunar Island and make 100 battle staves a day. And then that way, in about 70-odd days, I'll get 90 crafting. And I will make money from this, because the staves are cheaper than buying them on the exchange, and all I need to do is buy the orb. And I make about 200 profit per staff.
Yay!
So, yeah. Messing around with the beta a bit more, and debating to go do a Slayer task. Or no, I actually thought about doing the Slayer task briefly, but I decided against that, and instead was going to go do some Glacors. But I forgot. I abandoned that idea, because I decided that, no, you know, I want to get my RM's book first before I go back there to do magic. Because, you know, dual wielding magic with the wand and the book is definitely a good thing to do. Because it's fast and you can fire off spells just as quick. So, I want to get my book, so I'll be going back to Barrows shortly. But yeah, okay. That's about it, aside from various beta tinkering and whatnot. Alright, I believe we are done, unless there's anything else.
Go Giants.
What?
Go SF Giants.
Oh.
Baseball. Okay. Something you'll never watch.
I see.
That's it.
Well.
Right. I don't really watch that either. No one really watches that unless you really have a lot of time to waste.
Oh, so well, why'd you say go then?
Because they're my home team.
Oh, okay.
You always root for the home team, Shane, just like with hockey.
I don't.
You know, yeah, but you better, if one of them was part of a Starfleet team, you would root for them.
Probably, yeah.
See?
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, and remember to send in those audio questions. We like audio questions, so see you next week.